Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
We've got our take cannons loaded and ready.
Ready.
Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
This is Reception Perception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Coe, Matt Harmon here with you. You're listening to Reception Perception, the show. All right, Matt. Today, we always come onto this show and say, we're not a fantasy football podcast. But today, it's the fantasy football episode. Let's go. I don't know about you, but I'm pumped about it. So let's get that going. But there are things going on in the RP universe, man.
That's right. Couple things here. Number one, three things to just promo off the top here for people to know about that's what's new in the Reception Perception universe. One, on the YouTube channel, just sat down for a very cursed conversation exclusive to the YouTube channel with Jordan Rodrigue of The Athletic and the NFL Daily podcast, where I was discussing the fact that I am Cardinals curious with her. I told Jordan it would be a 30-minute conversation. It ended up being about an hour long. So people can check that out. Again, it's exclusive
standard
to the YouTube channel. Yeah, typical Matt Harmon BS. So people can check that out. It's a really fun conversation. Jordan is as much of an expert as there is on that, McVay, Shanahan coaching tree, obviously where Mike LaFleur comes from. So I was kind of wondering if she was going to talk me out of the sickness. As I mentioned, I needed some professional help. Probably not what happened in the hour that went there. So people can check that out. People will really enjoy that conversation, especially as it relates to one of the players we're actually going to talk about today later on in the show. Second thing to promote, the cheat sheet is getting updated consistently on the site. Really cool integrations with that. If you're doing a live draft, you can actually have it check off players for you. Which if you're drafting on a specific platform, so you can check that out there. This is Fantasy Football Show. It's a good time to talk about the fantasy rankings I'm doing are updated on the site every single day. I'm looking at those, moving players around. There's a top 100 overall now on there as well. In addition, if you've used the cheat sheet in the past, it's so much better this year than ever before. So definitely make sure you check it out. And then lastly, Jalen Coker profile went live on the site this week as well. And
why are you smiling? Why are you're so excited about this Jalen Coker profile, bro?
Dude, we're not going to talk about it on the show because I actually want people to go read it.
Yeah.
I may end up doing a breakdown of it on the YouTube channel, but we're not going to talk about it on the show because I do want people to read it. It is, He's just one of the best young receivers in the NFL. It's flat out awesome. And by the way, shout out to me. If I can do a quick shout out to me.
Hell yeah.
I wrote the whole profile and Zach had not updated the player comp tool before the profile went live.
Okay.
Multiple times in the profile for Jalen Coker, I referenced that my favorite comparison for him is Chris Godwin. Player comparison tool turns back three Chris Godwin season comps for the great Jalen Coker. And I didn't even know that.
I like it.
I didn't even know that was coming. So I think whether you are a Jalen Coker truther, you're a classic Cokehead like myself.
Yep. Okay.
Or actually, if you're invested in Tetero McMillan playing more snaps in the slot, something we've talked about on the show, you'll like the profile. So
I like it.
Three things out for you people to check out.
And coming in the very near future, we're going to get more quarterback profiles from Alfredo Brown. Those are dropping, dangerously soon. I think it's dropping this week. If not this week, then next week. And then running back profiles will be on the site early next week as well. So we've got things happening going on there. Okay. Like I said, today we're dedicating ourselves to our favorite fake game, fantasy football. Let's get it going. And we'll start right off the top. I got a couple of first round questions here for you. Are you drafting CMC? Yes or no?
Yeah. I mean, if I have the fifth overall pick, I think I'm comfortable taking Christian McCaffrey. If you look at the overall rankings on the site, I do have McCaffrey ranked as my fifth overall player. He is the fifth overall player going off the board on Yahoo drafts over the last week. I'm okay with that. You know, look, the reality with Christian McCaffrey is it's a wide range of outcomes. Number one, he wins you your fantasy football championship. He is the best player in fake football, or, you know, he doesn't play any games. We know how it goes. That's the range of outcomes for Christian McCaffrey. It is understandable. Like, if at this point, that's what it is. Now, I do have some, you know, concerns, and I think ranking him fifth overall is a reference of concerns. Like, if I had zero concerns, I figured he's just going to run back what happened last year. He would be the number one overall ranked player, sure, right? But he's fifth again behind two great other running backs in Gibbs and Bijan, and behind a couple of receivers for me as well, because, you know, he's someone that I just always bring this up, like, talk about how last year was the hardest year of his life, fourth most opportunities for a running back since the year 2000. You got to worry about the workload. I think you also got to worry about the potency of the 49ers offense right now. So no, I'm drafting him. If I get that fifth overall pick, I'm comfortable with him there. What about you? Are you in on CMC this year?
I am not. I'm 100% out, mostly because, again, the heavy workload, the age, I think those two things are very concerning. And I'll say this, there have been two other times where he had 400 plus touches, right? Mm-hmm. The first was in 2019 and the second was recently in 2023. In the next year in 2020, after that first time he had 400 touches, he played three games. Then 400 touches in 2023. Again, we know 2024, he played four games. So his history, while he is an absolute stud, I think any running back with a history of over 375 touches, the curse of 370 or whatever it is, doesn't look good. And in particular for CMC, I think we have a pretty good case here. When he touches the ball over 400 times, most likely injury is knocking on the door in the year following. And as you mentioned, man, just crazy amount of touches in 2025. So, and dude, and again, it's not, these happened earlier in his career. Now he's going into his age 30 season, coming off 450 touches. Yeah, man. I don't think, look, you can't win your fantasy football league in the first round, but Matt, I just feel like you could absolutely lose it. And for CMC, I just don't know if the risk is worth it at that price.
I kind of disagree with the idea that if your first round pick doesn't work out, you know, you can lose it. I guess it depends on your level of commitment, because you can obviously grind. You're going to be at a severe disadvantage if your first round pick misses the entire season or whatever. But, you know, you can figure it out. People that are listening to a damn football podcast are going to grind hard enough, hopefully, to figure it out. You can do it. I believe in you guys. Sure. But, okay, so again, just current Yahoo ADP. It goes Gibbs, Bijan, Ja'Marr Chase, Puka Nacua, and then Christian McCaffrey. Following that, JSN, Jonathan Taylor, Amon-Ra St. Brown, James Cook, and then 10th overall is CeeDee Lamb right now. Are you taking all of those guys ahead of McCaffrey, or is this just like, hey, in the first round, I'm not taking him. You're just not clicking him.
Yeah, no, I think I'm taking all of those dudes ahead of CMC. And I think if CMC falls into the second round, which he never, ever will, then I think the risk then becomes, you know, again, a moot point, because I think other running backs in that second round range also come with a lot of risk too. So I'll be willing to risk it there. But man, nah, I think in the first round, I have him outside my top 12. So he'll never fall that far. So for me, I just think he's an undraftable player.
Yeah. Can I ask you real quick about James Cook, who I have as my 9th overall player? I'm in line with ADP on that one. Yeah. I just had a conversation with James Cook on Friday last week. Ooh. And I don't think it's going to be on my Yahoo show, but the clips will be on social and everything. And one of the things I asked him, you know, because there's been this pretty consistent drumbeat about him, you know, and just running backs being more involved in the passing game, coming from that Pete Carmichael system. You know, he's the offensive coordinator now. Obviously, that's where Joe Brady gets his roots and the whole deal. I asked him, he's like, hey, what are you? You know, I think I had the stat that like I don't have it off the top of my head, but it was like how many more running backs? I think like 40 plus running backs had, he had 44 catches, something like that. Like a ton of running backs had more catches than him last year. I'm like, this is how many guys had more catches than you are. You think you're going to beat that number this year? Like, are you going to be more involved in the pass game? Are these rumors true? He basically just looked at the camera and said, I'll see you on Sunday. Like, I'll see you on Sunday. So I took that as a yes.
I take that as a yes as well.
I take that as a yes. Yeah, and I think he is a guy that is maybe in – I know he's been a great fantasy player. I'm curious if you've ever charted him as a running back. I think he could be in line to have a really dynamic season this year as kind of like a quiet first-round pick.
Yeah, I charted him last year and obviously was very impressed with what I saw. And it doesn't surprise me to see the success that he had. Super explosive player, ran, I thought, pretty well in both man gap and in zone. But no, look, he's in an awesome spot. I don't think you need to get too far into the metrics to understand. Look, Buffalo's got a pretty good offensive line. Josh Allen is there. There's going to be a lot of opportunities. And I think the running backs behind him too, Matt, aren't really, I think they're fine. They're not great. Yeah. I just think he is in such a great spot because you like explosive running backs in explosive offenses, and he checks those boxes, man. So, no, I think, like I said, James Cook for me, ahead of CMC, and I think he's a slam dunk, easy first round pick.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, he's somebody that it was funny. You do a fantasy show every single day in August, and sometimes there are guys who are just like, man, we didn't say anything bad about this guy, but we also didn't say anything negative about this guy. We just didn't talk about this guy enough. And James Cook was one of those players for me last year. And obviously he had a great season. So maybe because of that, I'm overcorrecting and I've just thought about him a lot here in the last couple of weeks, in addition to the fact that, I did just sit down and talk with him not too long ago.
I like it. I like it. CMC's got a lot of questions. Also in the first round, Justin Jefferson has a lot of questions here as well. Are you drafting Justin Jefferson at cost?
Man, I don't know. This is one where I think you and I did a video for like our best ball segment on the YouTube channel, maybe like a month ago at this point, something like that. And I think we'd weighed Justin Jefferson versus CeeDee Lamb. And if I'm remembering correctly, I think I went with Justin Jefferson there. It's hard to say, but he's somebody that I'm kind of like changing my mind about coming into August. And I actually, when I did my rankings update this week, and again, these are live on the site, he's someone I dropped a few spots out of the first round to me. I know this is weird to say because they did just name Kyler Murray the starter yesterday. Yeah. I did the Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
I just am a little – maybe I'm just a little spooked by the fact that it took so long, and it came on the heels of a lot of reports from people that – and, you know, by the way, I think, like, truly there are people with, like, J.J. McCarthy derangement syndrome on Twitter. Like, I mean, there's, like, a weird – there's literally – I didn't know about this, but I did an episode on Football 301. There was, like, a whole – clear, which by the way, clearly like a vibe coded, which is fine, no big deal. People do what they do. Like vibe coded start nine win website. Like people made an entire website, I guess, dedicated to why JJ McCarthy should be the starter over Kyler Murray. Which
no,
you know, look, yes, this is a thing. This is a thing.
What? Why?
So dude? You know, look, listen. Why? Far be it from me in my glass house of, you know, still talking about Rashad Bateman and Dontavian Wicks in the year 2026 to throw stones at the throw stones from my glass house here. Okay.
Sure.
So okay. I'm aware that I'm maybe the wrong messenger for this, but yeah, so maybe it's people from practice that are so far deep in the bag for JJ McCarthy that they're like, you know what? This is actually a pretty close competition. You know, Kyler's not really running away with it, but there are also real reporters that, you know, said it too, like that this was a pretty close comp, like Kyler was not running away with this whole thing.
Yeah.
So maybe Kevin O'Connell's just like, all right, enough already. I just got to name Kyler the starter and put this thing to bed. But it just feels a little bit like I wish this happened, you know, 2 weeks ago, like right. We go into camp, one practice in. Yeah. Kyler Murray's our starter, going forward. And I just feel like there's two things I think that are bothering me about the way that this sets up for Jefferson, none of which has to do with Justin Jefferson, who to me is still like one of the two best receivers in football.
Right.
The first is something we've talked about a lot on this show, where it is this offense is a well-designed offense, but it is a very high wire act. It's very boom or bust. You know, Sam Darnold's 2024 season continues to age well in reverse because he operated this very high wire offense right up until he didn't, you know, because there just wasn't a lot of safety nets, you know, baked into the offense. Kyler Murray doing that, who's already kind of a high variance player. I just think there's a chance that, especially if McCarthy is still on the roster, like maybe they trade McCarthy and, you know, and Carson Wentz is the backup. You know, I think there that is possible. But there's still an outside chance that, you know, Kyler Murray plays his usual level of output, which is probably like the 18th best quarterback in the NFL in the aggregate. Sometimes it's higher, sometimes it's lower.
Yeah.
And by week 14, they want to get a look at McCarthy again, and then he's the starting quarterback in the fantasy playoffs, you know, because Kyler was very boom bust in this very boom bust offense. To me, I just think there's enough concerns there that I haven't bumped Justin Jefferson down significantly in my wide receiver rankings. He's still my wide receiver six. I just find myself breaking ties in favor of a lot of the running backs that are going, which is why I've dropped him down to kind of like my 14th, 15th overall player.
A couple of things that I'd like to say in regards to the quarterback battle there in Minnesota. First of all, one off the top, I don't know why Minnesota is being so weird about the quarterback battle. Like, you can't even take, like, they fired a guy or whatever it was. Not that the team did, but somebody was filming practice and like had a couple of throws or whatever. He posted it and, you know, he ended up getting fired from his day job or whatever.
Really?
It was so weird, man. And so, like, Minnesota, the Vikings sent security to him and kicked him out for, like, trespassing. And I think they were trying to charge him with, like, you know, trespassing or something, which is just the most Karen move in the whole world. Anyways, the thing about Kyler that we've talked about is, first of all, he has a reputation in the NFL for not being a hard worker. Right. So yeah. I think he gets into a brand new system that is a little bit more complicated. And how much did he dedicate himself to learning the playbook? I don't know. I think it's fair to at least question whether or not that happened, whether he dove, you know, 10 toes into that. So maybe the learning curve there is going to be a little steeper. And then also on top of that, look, you and I have definitely talked about how this is not a clean schematic fit between Kyler Murray and what he does and what Kevin O'Connell and what he does and would like to get done, especially in that intermediate middle of the field. So it doesn't surprise me at all that it took a little bit of time for the Vikings to kind of sort of settle in on Kyler Murray, and that Kyler Murray didn't look that great going away from J.J. McCarthy. So I don't know. I think this was the inevitable result. The process took a little bit longer than I think people are anticipating, but I'm not, at the same time, I'm not shocked that it took this long either, just given Kyler's history on and off the field. So I don't know, man. I'm curious about it, but that being said, I'm not shocked by it, you know?
No, I think that's fair. And I still think there are going to be really good moments between Kyler Murray and Justin Jefferson, because Kyler is not that bad. You know, he's not.
Yeah.
He's not
a functional quarterback.
Yeah, he's a starting level NFL quarterback. It's just the ebbs and flows have always been kind of present with Kyler Murray. I mean, just a reality of the situation is this guy did, you know, whether it was fair or not, whether it was right or not, the guy got benched for Jacoby Brissett last year, by all intents and purposes. And Brissett was productive, but they won exactly what did they win? What, zero games? Did they win a game with Jacoby Brissett? Did they win one game with Jacoby Brissett?
I don't think they did. I think they lost every single game.
Regardless, it didn't go well, obviously from a real life perspective. But he just ran the offense better. And I do think there's going to be meat left on the bone with Kyler Murray overall. So, and I also think that the secondary players in this offense are a little bit overrated. Like, I find Jordan Addison to be a fine number two receiver, not a special number two receiver. TJ Hawkinson's not the same player anymore. Juwan Jennings, not the same player anymore. They're talking up Ty Felton from training camp. I'm at least willing to keep an eye on that, because I think Ty Felton actually – I think they drafted Ty Felton in the third round of last year's draft because they wanted like a spit the ball out and have him create after the catch type player. So they actually kind of do need that presence in the offense a little bit. So I'm at least willing to keep an eye out on that, but you know, we'll see. Ty Felton did absolutely nothing as a rookie. And then the backfield, it's got to be one of the weakest backfields in the NFL. So I think the offensive line could be better this year than last year if Christian Darrisaw is healthy, but still just questions across the board. So again, it's not so much that I think Justin Jefferson is going to be bad. And in fact, I'm ranking him wide receiver 6, which would be a massive improvement of what he did off of what he did last year.
Right.
But I just find myself when I get on the clock in drafts, and something I've talked about a lot this year, I really think we have to get better and better as fantasy analysts and fantasy players thinking about like your strategy for one position has to inform your strategy for everything else. And maybe I'm saying nothing new here and I'm an idiot and I should have been thinking about this more so all the time. But, you know, sometimes you end up doing these position previews and all that and you don't think, all right, well, how I approach this position inherently then means I'm going to approach this position this way. And
yeah,
for me,
totally.
The one thing I don't want people to do this year is to get behind at running back. Like when I've gotten behind at running back this year, usually I'm comfortable doing this, but like taking my RB2 in round 5 or whatever, you know, the Quinshon Judkins, Cam Scataboo, like tier of players, Basil, I'm not into that. I want more security, more upside at that running back 2 spot. So I just bumped him down, you know, on like my overall rankings. Again, he's still my wide receiver 6, but I put a few running backs like Jenty, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Kenneth Walker, especially ahead of Justin Jefferson.
Interesting. That's interesting. Okay. So wait, where is he in your overall rankings?
15th overall, but he's my wide receiver 6.
Wow. That's so interesting. Okay. That's good. I like that.
I think the best way to, for me, I think the way that I've looked at drafts this year, obviously the first round, second round does kind of depend on your draft slot, but I would really like to leave the first 4 rounds with at least 2 backs. So that's the
high level backs that you like.
2 high level backs that I like. So I really haven't been dabbling much in the early round tight ends, and definitely, you know, I think this is a great year to wait on quarterback because of this. So yeah, really, it's almost kind of nice to go running back, wide receiver in some, or, you know, flip that around a little bit just based on, again, your individual draft slot. I don't do my rankings to try to, you know, win the rankings accuracy content. I try to do my rankings so that, you know, people can actually draft off them the way that I would draft off them. So for me,
sure,
I'm kind of like ahead of ADP on all of those running backs that I just mentioned there by a few spots.
Yeah.
And then like I'm several spots higher once you get to the 4th round on the wide receivers in that spot. That's where I'm like, wide receiver, like round 4 to 5 is just filled with good receiver picks. So if you can settle your 2 backs early, I kind of like then, you know, doubling back to that tier 3, tier 4 of wide receivers and grabbing a few players there.
Dude, that's such a good point in terms of like, you know, strategizing how you are going to build your team and not just drafting off of ADP and positions, right? So it's interesting, man. I think that's really good. And I like the fact that you've kind of sort of built your ADP model around roster construction. I think that's really good. And by the way, really hard to do too, you know? that's difficult, man. So
I have probably spent more time this year just meticulously looking at the overall rankings more so than ever. I used to be a tried and true, like just draft positions,
sure,
and kind of vibe it out. But yeah, I really tried to make an effort for that this year. So, and again, tools on the site, folks, you guys get access to this. So check it out.
I like it.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's get right into the wide receivers here. This is a wide receiver focus show, obviously. So I think the fans, Matt Harmon, will be very curious to know who are your top 5 wide receiver sleepers outside of the top 100 that you like this year?
Yeah. Obviously, sleeper, you know, what is a sleeper? This, that, and the other. It's always a constant war. This guy's not a sleeper, whatever. I just like to say, if the guy's outside the top 100 in Yahoo ADP, we're going to go ahead and count that. That's a sleeper. All right. So a couple of these names.
Wait, real quick, Matt, real quick. For me, it is a lot easier now because I'm not as active on Twitter X. But it's so much easier for me to just talk about sleepers because I am outside the bubble. And like the fantasy bubble, no one's a sleeper because everyone knows everyone. So like, you know, it's like, okay, that's fine. But dude, once you get outside of the bubble, bro, it's like Joe Schmo at home is not thinking about, you know, ADP 150 guy. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, they're not thinking about ADP like 80 guy, okay?
That's what I'm saying, you know? So outside the top 100, absolutely a sleeper for most people. So let's go.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I'm still shoveling shit on Twitter, probably way too much. This sounds stupid to say on a podcast, you know, and we have a football website. We're kind of... our livelihood is kind of based on this. I almost think there's like an over information crisis at this point. And I'm not even talking about like statistics and people doing work and models and all that stuff. I think that's great. And people should consume as much of that as they want. But for God's sakes, I need fewer updates from training camp. specifically.
Yeah.
Not like, Zane Denani, who's a great, he's an awesome analyst. I had him on my Yahoo show. He actually just got a new job at Fantasy Life. He is doing like the Lord's work, truly grinding like the information that matters. I mean, that guy, if I hadn't had a conversation with him, you know, on my show, I might think he's AI. Like that's how hard he's working. but I need, so what he's doing, turn the notifications on for Zane. I mean, he posts a lot. So your spouse is probably gonna think you're having an affair, but like he's worth the notifications. But some of these other, like, where it's just like constant one-on-one wide. I mean, listen, I'm the lead lobbyist for big wide receiver, and bro, like I feel bad for these DBs just getting put out to dry on social media, getting cooked in these one-on-one drills where they're always going to get cooked because it's not a real football rep. That's number one. I don't need that anymore. The other thing I don't need to know every time a player limps off the football field. Okay. All right. I don't. It's football, bro. If there's an injury, tell me about it. If the guy's hurting a little bit, I don't need an update about that. And then having people freak out about it. So too much information on Twitter. And I say that to let you know that you've made the right choice to shovel a little less shit on Twitter like I am. So
perfect.
That wasn't the subject, but there it is. Okay, so top five sleepers.
Yes,
Number one, a guy nobody's going to be surprised about. I do think Josh Downs, who's kind of hovering around. I mean, his ADP has to come up at some point, you would imagine. But right now, the Alec Pierce thing. As of now, he still counts as a sleeper here. He's going off the board on Yahoo Drafts in the 10th round, 112th overall. 40 wide receiver, 42 off the board. Nobody's going to be surprised here that I'm about 32 spots ahead of ADP, and he is my wide receiver 36 in my most recent update. Straight up at this point, I think he should be drafted ahead of Alec Pierce. One, like, I think there was a good chance he could have just outproduced Alec Pierce altogether this year simply because of the archetype of player that these two guys are. And, you know, we're a pro Pierce website here. We like Alec Pierce. And you know, I think he can do more than just run go routes and all that stuff, as noted in his reception perception profile. But it's still his archetype of player is always going to be that downfield X receiver. I think this offense is just it's not going to be what it was in the first 8 weeks of last season, no matter how much Chris Ballard wants to manifest that. It's just they were on a historic pace and kind of running pure on some of those vertical shots. And even when Pierce had big games in the back half of the season, he also had a couple of games with like zero catches when Phillip Rivers was the quarterback. And I know Phillip Rivers is not going to be the quarterback this year, but I think that volatility will always be there, whereas Downs could be a little bit smoother. The reality is, like, when he's been on the football field, and that's been the problem for him. Last year, he ran a route on 67% of the dropbacks, which was a career low for him when he was actually available for football games. But that's not going to happen this year. He will run more than 67% of the routes. There's just a 0% chance, given the state of their receiver room, that doesn't happen. And I think they know that. Downs has talked about wanting to get back to being a high volume player. The reality is, when he's on the football field, he is 22nd in targets per route run since he entered the league in 2023, right behind only his teammate, Michael Pittman. Like, when he's on the field, this guy gets targets. He's going to get a lot of targets this year.
Yep.
Makes sense. You got Josh Downs there at one. You know what? I'm going to reverse the order here on you. Let me go to the bottom.
Okay.
Give me somebody who is going way late that you think could outkick expectations.
This guy's not going way late, but I wanted to go with somebody that is not, you know, just typical reception perception fodder. You know, I wanted to not just go with Josh Downs, Jalen Coker, who's not on my list because I said we talked to them at the top. You know, the typical RP guys. But Jaden Higgins is somebody that I think is a really good fantasy sleeper this year. 132nd overall ADP, wide receiver 65. So I guess you could say that is pretty darn late.
Yeah, that's late, dude.
Yeah, and 11th. See, I just fell into the trap myself. I just sleeper shamed myself.
That's late, dude.
Wide
Anyone
receiver
else has 60- the top 150 is late, bro. Come on.
Wide receiver 67 ADP. I've got him at wide receiver 46, 20 spots ahead on overall ADP on Jaden Higgins. Here's the thing, man. Higgins is he's a talented player. I had real questions about him as a prospect going, you know, to a team where he would play X receiver.
Yeah.
Luckily, as we talked about post-draft and everything, him going to Houston was a great fit. And there were times last year where not only did he have to fill in for Nico Collins when Nico Collins was hurt, there were also times where Nick Cayley would almost run like two outside on ball receivers in Higgins and Nico Collins. But when Higgins would get reps as the Z receiver, I thought he showed pretty well last year. His reception perception charting profile is, you know, certainly not terrible by any means. He actually showed pretty well again when he got those reps as a Z receiver, about 64% success rate versus man, 74% against zone. So again, not like great high end separation numbers, but I like the routes that he did win on in the intermediate area in particular. And like some of his comparables, his top two ones on the site are Kenny Golladay and Cedric Tillman. I actually want to see less Kenny Golladay, Cedric Tillman usage for him and more like comp number 4 and 5. There's like Tim Patrick, Adam Thielen is in here. You know, there's a Juwan Jennings comp in here for him. I think that's the style of player he more so is. And reading just stuff out of Houston, there's definitely a chance it could be a rotation at wide receiver 2 between Jaden Higgins and Tank Dell if he's healthy. And like Jalen Noll is still going to be in the mix. And I still like those guys as well. But if any of those three guys is going to be like an 80% snap player, it's going to be Jaden Higgins. So I like taking him late in the double digit rounds here.
It's a player that I love the fact that you said he's not your typical RP guy, because the typical RP guy in that spot would be Jalen Noll. And I like the fact that you highlighted the fact that despite our best efforts, Jalen Noll most likely will not be on the field more than Jaden Higgins, despite our propaganda on reception perception. It seems like the coaching staff likes Jaden Higgins. They like his size and what he can do in contested catch and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know.
Noll is the type of guy that would have been a great NFL player 5 years ago when there was a lot more 11 personnel and spread out stuff. I think he still is going to be a really good NFL player, just from a fantasy standpoint. I think that's just going to be a little bit tougher, based on just kind of where the things are right now.
For sure.
But I'm still, by the way, not at all giving up on Jalen Noll. He's still a guy I have pretty highly ranked in dynasty and everything, and I think is a good stash there.
Okay, we go to Cleveland here. I see that you've marked down two players. This is cheating, Matt. Give me your preference.
I mean, if they're a Browns player, can it just be? It's like a half just of a player, anyways. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Right, exactly. All right, but KCC, listen. Denzel Boston, two rookies there in Cleveland. You like both of these dudes?
I like both these guys. I think Casey Concepcion stands out more as like a guy that's going to help you in fantasy this year, maybe more so than Boston. 131st overall ADP for Casey Concepcion. Boston not really getting drafted. I think KCC is just someone that can, again, get a lot of layup touches, is going to be on the field a ton. I just want to bet against Jerry Jeudy, who Yeah. Hasn't had a very good camp. Is not coming off of a very good season. And man, I mean, I know it's quarterback questions, but of all these guys, the one who's going to be a little insulated from quarterback chaos is certainly Casey Concepcion, who's the best separator and somebody that can win with the football in their hands. So might take a minute. You know, I think he fits better with Shedeur Sanders than Deshaun Watson. I think anybody would probably fit. Doesn't really fit Deshaun Watson's game at this point. My favorite updates, the camp updates I do need is like the interception count for Deshaun Watson. That's been the one that's been one of the more consistent drumbeats out of camp. Says how many interceptions is Deshaun Watson throwing?
Can I say this though? Can I jump in on this, the beat reporting in Cleveland? I like rank my, if I had to rank my bottom three beat reporter like areas, it would be at the very, very bottom. It's San Francisco. Beat reporters there give you absolutely nothing. And then I would, number two, I would have, New England, and maybe New England, mostly just for the attitude that they have, that they think that their stuff don't stink, which is so bad. Okay. New England, I'll have at, in my bottom two, but number three, Cleveland, like, and right now, by the way, ESPN Cleveland's doing pretty good work in terms of like doing a legit quarterback tracker. Like they're doing like, okay, completion percentage, touchdowns, interceptions, and that kind of stuff. So, between both Deshaun Watson, Shedeur. Right.
Dylan Gabriel. But,
yeah, Dylan Gabriel's in the mix too. But the one thing is though, it's hard to decipher who's actually playing better, and maybe it's just because both are playing badly. I've seen trusted beat reporters in the Cleveland area say two completely different things. Like Deshaun Watson has shown more. Shedeur Sanders has easily won camp. Like these are two very disparate ideas. And to decipher training camp news from the beat reporters right now is dang near impossible. So I don't know. I feel like this is very much like, you know, bias confirmation. Like if you want it to be Shedeur, you'll find the information. If you want it to be Deshaun Watson, you're going to find that information too.
Well, this is what just, again, is so tough about training camp is it's almost like all of this is subjective. Like you and I could both sit there and watch practice and think one thing and another,
sure.
Which is why, again, the updates that really matter is not like, man, this guy looks great. It's just how often is he playing with the first team? You know, all of that stuff, because everybody's got biases when they're watching, you know, football players. But yeah, it is tough. I think one thing we have seen is that Denzel Boston, you know, from the reports is now getting, you know, Todd Monken has said this, he's getting reps with the first team as the X receiver. I just think long term, these two guys, Boston at X, Casey Concepcion is the Z slot, kind of in a Zay Flowers type role. I just think these guys are well set up to get a lot of playing time. And I just want to bet when you get to this point in the draft, like, yeah, there are certain guys that I think could be ADP beaters, you know, like, but they're not going to be they're guys that you're going to be kind of bouncing on and off your roster essentially.
Right.
And I just want to try to hit at least one home run in these double digit rounds. And, you know, frankly, for me, that's the rookie receivers here. So those two guys are just talented enough that I think they should be drafted. Like Boston, probably like final round pick, Casey Concepcion, you know, 10th round, something like that. I think is really good in that range.
I like it. I think KC will go later too. I think he'll go in like round 12. I don't think people are too in on Cleveland, obviously, for easily decipherable reasons. So we'll see. Okay, in Arizona, you've highlighted Michael Wilson, which I cannot agree with you more. Like MHJ is getting there's still some candles being lit for MHJ, but man, Michael Wilson is just consistently been a contributor here in training camp. And I do think that he is, as you have, you know, highlighted many times, he's just a straight up good football player.
Yeah. Look, I am one of the people that has the candle still lit for Marvin Harrison Jr. Absolutely. I'm actually, from an overall ADP perspective, a little bit ahead of ADP on Marvin Harrison Jr. because I am Cardinals curious. Again, check out the video on the YouTube channel. I'm in line though with like he's the wide receiver 32 off the board. I have him as the wide receiver 31. But I think it doesn't make any sense that Marvin Harrison goes at the 81st overall pick and Michael Wilson goes 111th.
Yeah.
Like there's three rounds of separation on Yahoo right now between these two Cardinals receivers. And I just don't think the gap should be that wide. I get it that like if you look at games last year, Marvin Harrison Jr. when and Michael Wilson, when they're on the field together, the opportunities went to Marvin Harrison. I totally get that. But as I've said many times on the show, the whole idea of targets are earned, it's, you know, spiritually, directionally accurate and, and like in a good, it's, there's a good argument for it, but it's not an absolute truth. And, you know, Michael Wilson, this is one of the videos that Jordan and I played on the YouTube the show that we just did. Like Michael Wilson talked about that in that offense last year, he was playing Z and Marvin Harrison Jr. is playing X. And in Drew Petzing's offense, he said, he's like, look, like this is the way the scheme goes. First reads on eight on however many percentage of the plays go to either the Y tight end or the X receiver. They don't go to the Z receiver. And then Michael Wilson, when he played X, was getting a bunch of targets. Now in this offense, it's much more spread out. You know, he's playing the Z receiver role, which theoretically is the move guy. He's going to be kind of closer to the formation there. I just think he's set up well to, and I think this, again, the whole theory of the Cardinals curious thing, the clickbait title is, I don't think the Cardinals are going to be as bad as like their projected win total, or like they're going to be the worst offense in the NFL. I really don't think they're going to be that bad. Like I think LaFleur is too good of a coach. Maybe these players are too talented. So 111th overall ADP, 10th round. Yeah, I'm way ahead of that on Michael Wilson.
I don't know. It's really funny to me because I think the real life implications are impacting the fantasy values of these guys. Like in real life, are the Cardinals going to be good? No. In real life, they're going to be terrible. Yeah. But offensively,
that is not what Cardinals curious implies. Like I'm actually not saying that they're they might win four.
They might
more
win games
instead of three and a half.
They're going to be terrible,
which is their projected total. But
no, they're terrible. Yeah. But they're set up to have a really fun, exciting offense. Though there's a lot of really good, talented offensive players. They add Jeremiah Love to the situation. They try to shore up their offensive line a bit. And again, like you're going to get an entire full season of Jacoby Brissett just bombing it, right? And meanwhile, their defense is still bad. Again, these are all, they're all set up to, again, have a ton of volume on the offensive side of the football. So whether or not they win three or four games, look, it's different than like Miami, for example. You know, Miami is bad in real life, and they might be really bad in fantasy too, you know, because, again, they just don't have a lot of legitimate proven playmakers at all. So they've got Achan and that's about it. Like we are again hoping that Malik Willis is good. Maybe he is, and maybe he elevates everybody, but Miami certainly has the downside risk of just being bad in real life and bad in fantasy. For Arizona, they have too many talented players. Their coaching staff is too offensively oriented for me to think that they're going to be bad offensively, especially for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, man, I totally agree. I mean, there are teams that, you know, are they're just not nearly as talented as Arizona is. Like that's where I just come down, is that this offense is so much more talented than
Trey McBride, Marvin Harrison Jr., Michael Wilson, Jeremiah Love. I mean, come on, man. Like this is, and again, you got a quarterback there and Jacoby Brissett that's not afraid to fling it, and he can cover pretty much all areas of the football field. Does he do it well? No, but he can get the ball out to places. That, I think, is the kind of sort of the X factor in all of this.
And I think as much as I am, you know, not nearly as hard on Petzing as some of my other, you know, colleagues in the industry, specifically fantasy, I think that Mike LaFleur, his scheme and what I'm imagining his scheme is going to be, what we've kind of have had a proof of concept both in Los Angeles, like, and of course he had a stint as the New York Jets play caller, that fits these players way better than what Petzing was doing. So yeah. I just think there's a lot of when you I and look, as I said many times in the Cardinals Curious YouTube video, this could age horribly. I'm well aware that this could be a terrible, terrible contrarian thought. But I feel like the entire hive mind is just dead set that this team's, you know, a joke, and the offense is going to be a joke. And I don't see it based on the talent here.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all. All right, give me one more wide receiver.
Yeah, Jaden Reed. I mean, come on. We got to talk about Jaden Reed. You see, Jordan Love said that Jaden Reed is the most underrated player on the Green Bay Packers.
Wow. That's okay, right. I like it. I like it.
10th round like ADP it. On Jaden Reed, 119th overall. I have him in my 80s. for a couple of reasons. One,
damn, dude, really?
Yeah, man,
that's crazy high. I love it.
Wide receiver 38. By the way, I'm fine if you want to take Matthew Golden too. Golden is another guy that he goes so late that even if you're skeptical about Matthew Golden, which I am, who cares? Like, just take the shot. You know, he goes in the 130th overall ADP. He's fine. But while I think that when they go to two receiver sets, Matthew Golden will be on the field probably over Jaden Reed. I think they're going to play way more 11 personnel this year than ever before. You look at their depth chart right now. Luke Musgrave, their tight end too, has a neck injury. I just think, you know, your boy Matt LaFleur would have to be an idiot to like not play the three receivers over the two tight ends. Like, there's just, I think we overthink the two receiver set. Sometimes this team's defense is going to be worse. Their run game is going to likely be worse. Yep. I think this team's going to be in more throw heavy game scripts, which will lead to Jaden Reed just playing more. And Reed is a really good football player who's just coming off of a down year because he was hurt right away. He had two surgeries last year.
I know,
not just on the foot, but also on the collarbone.
That's insane. That's crazy, dude. All right, so there you go. Josh Downs, Jaden Reed, Michael Wilson, KCC, and Denzel Boston, as well as Jaden Higgins there in Houston. I'm going to quickly go through my the Sleeper King top five handcuffs.
Just do it.
Sleeper King top five handcuffs. Honorable mention. It's not really five, but five does better for SEO. Okay, so. honorable mention, Jonathan Brooks. Honorable mention, Jonah Coleman. And honorable mention, Blake Corum. The one thing I'll say about Blake Corum is I refuse to believe anything that Sean McVay says about running back splits. Look, he is a one running back man, you know? Like, he is about as monogamous as it gets when it comes to running backs. He's sticking with one guy. I don't totally buy that Blake Corum is going to, like, I don't know, play 35%. I don't think it's going to be a 65-35 split. I think it'll still be 70-30 at best, and it might even be, like I said, they might even, you know, work in a third running back. So what does Blake Corum have? I'm not sure. But that being said, if Kyren Williams goes down, okay, then Blake Corum could be a legitimate league winner if Kyren Williams goes down, right? So got to put him on the honorable mention list. Jonah Coleman. Look, I don't think that no one's thinking that J.K. Dobbins is going to stay healthy, which I think is a fair bet. R.J. Harvey or Jonah Coleman, R.J. is going a little bit sooner than Jonah Coleman. And to me, I think it's just a 50-50. Like, you know, if you read the charting profile, Matt, R.J. Harvey did exactly what, you know, that I thought he was going to do, basically. It's he has explosive plays, but down to down, it's a little bit frustrating watching him run, right? So he's either striking out or hitting a home run. I compared him to baseball's Adam Dunn, and I think we saw that. Jonah Coleman, on the other hand, dude, Jonah Coleman, on the other hand, by the way, you could read that profile on the website right now. Jonah Coleman is about as consistent as it gets, and I just think he is, again, he's somebody that I think Sean Payton is going to see and say, man, get me this guy on the football field. This is somebody that is providing consistent production on the ground. Is he as explosive as RJ Harvey? No, but I think he keeps the offense on track. I'm going to bet on Jonah Coleman if J.K. Dobbins goes down with injury. And Jonathan Brooks is somebody that I think you're pretty high on Jonathan Brooks, right? Like, or at least you're hoping that Jonathan Brooks does something there in Carolina.
Well, I have one dynasty team where I spent a first round pick on Jonathan Brooks, and it's just been a real missing spot. So I'm desperate for. I'm actually desperate for this to happen. But I also think that there's a good shot of it. By the way, the ADP gap is closing on those two guys. Like, Jonathan Brooks is 104th overall, 103.7, and then Chuba Hubbard is 80.2. I kind of think that gap at some point, Brooks is going to play in the Panthers first preseason game. They just announced that while they're taping. I think that gap is going to get closer and closer between those two guys, which is risky, by the way. It's definitely risky, but I like you bringing him up.
Yeah, Jonathan Brooks, definitely a handcuff that I will be keeping an eye on for sure. And you might be right.
But what are the odds that you think he outproduces Chuba Hubbard this year?
I think it's actually pretty decent. I'm not a big Chuba guy. Like, Chuba is totally fine as a
solid.
If he was a backup, like, you'd feel pretty good about Chuba as your backup. But the Jonathan Brooks thing is really interesting. He hasn't played football in ages, man. So There's just,
he had a couple of cameo appearances as a rookie and then towards ACL again.
There's just no, and I'm big on this, man. There is just nothing like actually playing football. And it's, I think it's disrespectful to the game and to the players to think that somebody who has not played meaningful football in two plus years can come back and be that productive. So he's an interesting handcuff to me. I wouldn't overinvest. If his, look, if his ADP goes, you know, lower than 100, I'm out on Jonathan Brooks, man. That's too rich for my blood. And for a guy who has not played legitimate football.
Him ranked as the 86th overall player running
that's
back
too
30.
Much, dude. It's too high, dude. That's too high, bro.
It's too high. Dude, it just gets really bad. And this is again why I want you guys to not fall behind at running back. It just gets really rough in terms of upside bets later on at running back. A lot of them are the guys you're going to talk about here, the injury handcuff players. So it's just, to me, that's why I think like, yeah, I take the shot on Brooks. It totally could be a strikeout in the eighth round, ninth round. But, you know, you're a lot, spoiler alert, folks, a lot of your picks in the eighth and ninth round are going to be total strikeouts.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, totally. I've got guys here that are going mad late, crazy late. And again, I don't give myself the moniker of the sleeper king without having some of these picks on the board here. But I'll start at the bottom, Matt. I like to go to KC. Emmett Johnson, somebody that that I profiled here for the site. Again, you could read his prospect profile. His ADP on Fantasy Pros ECR is ADP 185. So he's going way, way late. Kenneth Walker, we like and love. But Emmett Johnson, keep in mind, man, this is a player that I think that Eric Bieniemy is going to love. This guy's a hard-charging running back. He plays extremely hard, super hard-nosed player, maximum effort. Whenever I watch Emmett Johnson, I'm always like, man, maximum effort with this guy. He's fun to watch just because of how much effort he puts out on the football field. And I think you and I both know, man, like Eric Bieniemy is that dude that is going to gravitate towards a player like that. So I'll be curious to see if Emmett Johnson ends up having a bigger role than some folks are anticipating, especially given the contract that was given out to Kenneth Walker. And oh, by the way, as we know, Kenneth Walker, he's not always the model of health, you know?
Nope.
So
nope.
Emmett Johnson is somebody that I will be keeping an eye on in Kansas City. Yeah. If I am going to take a stab at Green Bay's backfield, Marshawn Lloyd with an ADP outside of the top 200 on Fantasy Pros is somebody that I'm at least curious in. You could take him incredibly late. Jacobs is dealing with a growing injury right now. He's out at least a week. And also, he's just somebody that has had a ridiculous amount of work over the last 4 years. One of the most worked running backs in the league over the last 4 years. And last year, we did see his efficiency drop too, right? Like he went from 4.4 yards per carry to 4.0 flat. Plus, the NFL investigation is ongoing into his alleged domestic incident. So suspension could potentially be on the table too. I don't know, man. Marshawn Lloyd has had a big time issue staying healthy too. So I understand why the ADP is that late, Matt.
Dude, yeah, I mean, listen, of course, another guy just like Jonathan Brooks that could just be a complete strikeout. His ADP on Yahoo right now is the 12th round. This is the perfect time to take those little risks. But man, you just think Josh Jacobs, he really runs the gamut of red flags at the running back position right now.
Totally.
Workload, injuries, off field, and offensive line is worse this year, most likely. Defense is like team is worse. It's just like, it could totally work out for Josh Jacobs. I get it. But if it doesn't work out, there's like five possible trap doors that Josh Jacobs could fall in.
Yep, totally. And so, yeah, he's a player that, by the way, I am not in on that, man. Like, no. I don't want that risk, dude. I'm
he is one of the guys. If you look at my running back tiers, number one, yeah, I am lower than consensus on. But also, he's a guy that to me, as soon as he's the name that popped up at the top of the queue, I'm like, ooh. No, the feelings there for Jacobs. We've seen it, but it's just like, ooh, if that's the click at running back two, probably not feeling so great about it.
Right. Okay. At number two, I've got Tyrone Tracy, ADP 130 on Fantasy Pros ECR right now. And again, I just go back to this guy's just a flat out good player, you know, 200 touches and 1,000 plus yards in each of his first two seasons. Cam Scadabaugh, who is the nominal starter right now, is coming off of a major injury. We're talking ankle dislocation, fibula fracture, torn ligament as well. And I don't think I am the only one thinking that this is not the brightest bulb in the box here. You know, when we're talking about Cam Scadabaugh doing backflips on stage with that injury and all that kind of stuff, the injury history, and I think the injury risk for Cam Scadabaugh, I think is pretty high, especially given his play style. Last year, it was, he's a fun player to watch because he is so reckless, but you can't, again, disassociate yourself from the fact that he is reckless as a football player. Drops his head a lot. Man, he has a lot of head-on collisions. And while it does make for some really exciting runs at times, Matt, at the same time, man, like that is not the smartest way to play football. So, again, will the coaches kind of like coach that out of him? I don't think it's possible, but we'll see. But again, at the end of the day, Tyrone Tracy is a good football player. He's a converted wide receiver. We know he's got the hands too. And I just don't understand why a player who is this good, who is legitimately probably in a 50-50 timeshare in New York, is going that much later than Cam Scadabaugh.
I think it's a good bet to make. Personally, I wish Tyrone Tracy was just like a little bit better. You know, like a little bit better of a player, then I think this could be like a true 50-50 timeshare, if not like Tyrone Tracy could outright take the job. Cause I'm just skeptical of Cam Scadabaugh way more. He is one guy that, you know, I didn't even intend to be, but like when I plug in, and some of this, again, as I said, is just the area where I'm taking wide receivers versus running backs. Like,
yeah,
I put in my overall rankings versus Yahoo ADP, and I was just so much lower.
Totally
on Scadabaugh then I mean, he goes off as the 40th overall pick, and I'm not sure he's that good, and I'm not sure the Giants are going to be that good. That makes me nervous when clicking a fantasy running back in the fourth round, because yeah, he was productive obviously last year, but they just kind of ran the ball a lot during that stretch, and I think they're going to run the ball a lot this year, so maybe volume will assuage it. But yeah, there weren't like an efficient run game with him as the lead guy. So there are probably some reasons for them to mix Tracy in. And for what it's worth, which is probably nothing, but for what it's worth, the Giants put out their first preseason depth chart, and it was, you know, Cam Scadabaugh / Tyrone Tracy as the starting back. And by the way, like, don't forget that in the offseason, there were a ton of reports that the Giants were in on Ken Walker and like interested in Jeremiah Love, you know? Yep. So that, totally. They could be just looking for a little something different than just we're, you know, it's Brian Daboll trying to save his job and, you know, latching on to the Jackson Dart Cam Scadabaugh memes, you know, and like giving this guy 25 touches a game.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, finally, we'll get you out of here, man. Adam Randall, I've talked about a lot. I don't want to spend a ton of time here, but the fact that his ADP on Fantasy Pros ECR is outside the top 300 is absolutely ridiculous and crazy. I think people think right now that Justice Hill is the backup, and I will fade that all day long. Like I said, it's a brand new coaching staff. They have absolutely no affiliation or, you know, reservations with Justice Hill. So no, the new coaching staff and Steve Bisciotti himself selected Adam Randall. He's making noise in training camp right now. The reporters have been really impressed with his production and just his reps on the field. I think he vaults into that backup territory outside of Derrick Henry. I'm again not worried about Justice Hill. I'm not worried about Rasheen Ali. I think it's going to be Adam Randall all day. And man, look, if you guys read anything on the site in regards to running backs, just read the Adam Randall prospect profile, because I am just overflowing and gushing in my praise of Adam Randall. I don't know how he went this late, but again, the fact that Steve Bisciotti made that personal pick, Matt, I think that means a lot, and it's a brand new coaching staff that, again, has no loyalty whatsoever to Justice Hill or Rasheen Ali.
Yeah, Jesse Minter, when talking about Adam Randall recently said, quote, "I think it has been really good. It's gotten a little bit better each time we're in pads. Adam Randall runs behind his pads now and the defenders, it's like Derrick Henry, you know, it's like a thud period. I told Derrick, man, it's really hard for me because I know there are some of these tackles that probably you're running through, but we're thudding it up. We're trying to obviously take care of him. With Randall, you kind of see that tough, like a bigger back, maybe like a thud tempo that the play has blown dead, you know, now the whole deal." So like he's comparing him to kind of a replacement for, not a replacement, but a compliment, and it's sort of the same thing of what they're getting from Derrick Henry, they're getting from Adam Randall. So I agree with you. Like, he is a guy that is a, you know, look, there's not a lot of human beings built like Derrick Henry. Adam Randall is one of the running backs that is built like Derrick Henry from just a, I don't know. I've not seen Adam in person. I've never hugged Adam Randall, have hugged Derrick Henry before. You know, we're good friends. Sneaky good friend.
Derrick Henry is the biggest human on earth. What the hell, bro? He's crazy built.
He's unbelievable. Like, he's listed, what, 6'3", like 230 something? Derrick Henry?
Randall is 6'3", 230. Yeah, Randall 6'3", 230.
But
I feel like Derrick Henry's like 250 now, dude. Like,
that's what I was going to say. Is like, I saw Derrick again in February, and I was just like, my God, bro. Yeah, you just like he looks bigger and better. We actually rewatched one of our first meeting, me and Derek, nice. and I said we both look much better now, and he agreed. He said we look like way better, dude, and he looks way better. He's 32 years old, whatever.
32.
He looks bigger and better than ever. So yeah, whatever his listed weight is, I'll go ahead and take the over. Parentheses complimentary. Yeah. But he also said I look good too. So that's what really
you
matters.
Do, pal. Hey, listen, you do, pal. Okay, you've packed on that muscle, dude.
That's why. Yeah.
The protein consumption is off the charts with our guy Matt Harmon here, dude.
That's how. Listen, I will just say that's how we got. We weren't just, you know, like, Derek, please talk about how awesome I am. No, he was. His sponsor was Oikos yogurt. You know, protein. Oh, okay. It all related.
Okay, it all works. Okay, so, yeah, it all works.
So he's clearly eating the yogurt. Good. So am I. All right. So, okay. So Derrick Henry probably not going to break down, probably never going to break down. You and I will be doing the show when I'm 50 and I definitely don't look this good anymore. But Derrick will still be, you know, 48 years old and look
when
good.
When you turn 50, there's a 5% chance I'll be dead. So
that's true. Because you're what, like 30 years older than me?
Damn, dude. I hate you so much, bro.
Dude, I mean, listen, by the time I'm 50, people will probably be either the world will have ended in an apocalyptic fashion, or people will be living to 150. I do intend to live to 150. So maybe I can get you to at least 110. We'll see.
Well, yeah, I mean, at that point, I'll upload my conscience to the metaverse and I'll just we'll just do podcasts from there.
No,
well, whatever the virtual reality,
whatever we'll, you know, it'll just be the Claude versions of us doing this podcast.
Correct. Just be our brains in a jar uploaded to the internet somehow, dude. You know?
If my brain is still, whatever my brain conscience is in the year, you know, 2058 or something, is still talking about John Dotson, you guys have permission to pull the plug on whatever the brain, thing
got
is.
It.
Okay. I want that on the record.
Yeah, you can upload a virus to the Matt Harmon.
You can shut that.
AI.
You can shut malware that thing. Shut it down. That's about enough.
Okay, good, perfect. Adam Randall, my favorite handcuff in this cycle, just because he's going so late, you can get him for free, and dude, the upside is absolutely insane. So there you go, Adam Randall, Tyrone Tracy, Marshawn Lloyd, Emmett Johnson, honorable mention Jonathan Brooks, Jonah Coleman, and Blake Corum. So there you go. Boom. Go check out the website, receptionperception.com. Today was our fantasy episode. There'll be more fantasy talk too, but I thought today would be a good time to dedicate ourselves to the craft of fantasy football. Anyways, we got to go. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. We'll see you. Remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams.
Peace.